The following message is by Pastor John Piper. More information from Desiring God is available at www.desiringgod.org.
Nebuchadnezzar Part 2 takes us a little further toward the resolution of his strange life. I find him a perplexing character, and I have imagined that there's something very dark in his background and in his life. And that came out last time. It'll come out now, and it will come out in the next 2 weeks, Lord willing. Nebuchadnezzar Part 2. The night was never peaceful for the king of Babylon. Before the blood-red harvest moon each year, before that night, he felt more fear than any other month. That night, the cult of Raku swore to smite a human sacrifice before the fullness of the moon would pour its light once more upon the plains of Babylon. Again, the stains of human blood would soak the stones outside the capital, and groans from foreign gods would satisfy with death once more the hungry eye that glowers from the midnight sky like a celestial cyclops high above the blood-soaked kingdom, ruled with fear and so-called wise men fooled by royal arrogance. And when the oath was made this night again that one would die within a space of 30 days, the secret place was shaken, and a voice was heard. Tonight, Nebuchadnezzar, word will come to you in visions on your bed, and in a dream, the dawn of distant times will be revealed and fullness of the time unsealed. I give you this in payment for the blood that next month you will pour. And so it was, or so he thought it was. The dream did come, but not in this night's dream flowed from a grim and petty fiend or from the whim of any oracle in hell, but from the God of Israel. So in the morning, full of dread, Nebuchadnezzar left his bed and called his sorcerers and all the magicians to the council hall and said, "Tell me the dream I had last night. And tell me, good or bad, the meaning of this dream." But they replied, "Your Majesty, just say the dream, and we will gladly tell you what it means. You would compel me how to deal with sorcerers. I know your trade. If someone errs in prophesying distant times, who knows it now? And when your crimes at last appear, you will be dead, and no one hangs a corpse. Instead, I vow, you will, before you die, be severed limb from limb, and I will lay in ruins everything you own until they say, 'The king of Babylon will not be duped by clever charlatans who trooped across his stage in prophet's clothes, as if their play could not disclose itself to royal eyes.' No, I have called you here not to reply with counsel back to me, but by my God, say what I dreamed, or die." "No man on earth," they said, "can meet the king's demand. No head of state in any empire put a yoke like this, or set his foot on man. This is the business of the gods, not us. Some power above, not on the earth, O king, could tell the royal dream." At this, there fell the wrath of all his royal pride upon the heads of those who tried to justify their impotence. And he decreed, "The consequence of your enfeebled magic skills and brazen insolence that spills so freely from your mouths will be the end of all your sorcery and death to every so-called wise man in this realm who wears the guise of prophecy and cannot tell to me what I just dreamed, or even see the past 6 hours old, as though with ease the future you would know. Begone, I will appoint a day to put your folly on display." The captain of the royal guard walked slowly through the palace yard to bear his news to Daniel and his friends. The exiles from the land of Judah proved themselves tenfold more wise and gifted than the old and seasoned charlatans the king had leaned upon. But now the sting of royal rage would reach to them as well. "You mean he will condemn us all?" Daniel inquired. "He must have gone insane. We had his trust." "He had a dream last night, and he demands that someone have the key not only to its meaning, but the very dream itself and what was in his head. There's something more than meets the eye. I sense a war inside his head and some dark foe that he cannot defeat or even show to anyone. The death of all his counselors. There is a thrall in this, and he is not his own. Please tell the king the dream is known." These words came forth unbidden from the mouth of Daniel. "I will come and tell the king the secrets in his mind. Ask him, might we begin tomorrow night? First, I must speak with Shadrach and my friends and seek their prayers. Please ask the king if he would stay his hand until he see if Daniel's God can know his mind." The king agreed to wait and signed a stay of execution for the counselors. Behind the door of their small residence, Daniel besought the God of Israel and counseled with his friends. "Shadrach," he said, "what do you think?" "More's back of this than meets the eye," the captain said. "Do you comply with this assessment? Arioch, I think, is able to unlock the secrets of the king. What do you think?" The question was not new for Shadrach. Ever since the king had given him his name, the sting had stirred in him more insight to the royal mind than any knew. "I think," he said, "that when the moon is full again, there will be strewn across the plains of Dura shards of broken secrets, and the guard's opinion will be proven true. Indeed, there's more to this than you or I yet understand. But on that night, we'll know, and gone will be the powers that enslave the king, but not without a grave." The friends looked deep and long into each other's steady eyes. They knew the stories of the prophets and the ancient truth that life will stand at last because of death, and all the ropes of evil bondage fall forever, severed by the knife of one who freely gives his life. No more was said. The time had come to tell the king his dream. The dumb enchanters trembled in the ring of sorcerers around the king, awaiting execution if the Jews should fail. The king was stiff with unbelief. And then he heard the voice of Daniel and this word. "A great and brilliant image stood before the king. There was no wood. The head was gold. The arms and chest were silver. Bronze was all the rest down to the knees. Connecting thighs and feet, the legs of mammoth size were made of iron and joined the feet of clay and iron mixed. The seat from where you watched was shaken as a little stone was cut, which has no maker. None to cut or fling the stone like David from the sling, and yet it flew against the clay and iron of the feet, and they were shattered by this stone. And then the gold and bronze was thrown down to the earth, and silver lay with powdered iron blown away like chaff, and not a trace of them was found. And then the stone, the gem, became a mountain there before your eyes. And then, forevermore, it filled the earth." Then Daniel stopped. Nebuchadnezzar never dropped his eyes from Daniel's face, but stood without a word and wondered, would this Jewish prophet also know the meaning of this dream? From toe to head, Your Majesty, it stands for nations. You, with all your lands and wealth and power, are the head of gold. And after you are dead, a lesser will arise, and then a third of bronze, and rule all men upon the earth. And then a throne of iron that crushes every bone before it will prevail. Then clay will mingle in and bring the day of dissolution. Then, O King, Almighty God will come and bring to pass in ways that neither you nor I can comprehend the new and everlasting reign of one whose age is older than the sun and yet appears by birth and gains his crown not by the sword but pains and finally by death. His reign will have no end, and by his pain he will obtain the heavens and the earth. All this, O King, is planned, and in the end, the silver, gold and bronze and iron, the kings of old, will be forgotten. So beware, O golden king. God does not share his power with sun or moon. Your dream came from the blazing noon of God's all-knowing power and light, not from the borrowed powers of night. Take heed, O king, how close the brink. Full moons do not mean what you think. The truth of candle too must shine. Kings have their thrones by God's design, not by their sword or intellect, or by black arts or secret sect. And if in Babylon a king is proud and blind in everything, and thinks that Raku rules the skies, he will soon find it otherwise.
Thank you for listening to this message by John Piper, pastor for preaching at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. We invite you to visit Desiring God online at www.desiringgod.org. There you'll find hundreds of sermons, articles, radio broadcasts, and much more, all available to you at no charge. Our online store carries all of Pastor John's books, audio, and video resources. You can also stay up to date on what's new at Desiring God. Again, our website is www.desiringgod.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-346-4700. Our mailing address is Desiring God, 2601 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55406. Desiring God exists to help you make God your treasure, because God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him.